Good afternoon. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we have been discussing the world of efficiency of movement in sport. And I'm with Andy Barr of the New York Knicks, and he has a fantastic background that I wanted to ask him specific questions related to soccer. He has a lengthy background in soccer as a player, and then eventually moving over into the staff or as a coach for a couple teams over in England. And I'm going to allow him to mention the teams and his background, because there's no way that I could ever pronounce ever all of those correctly. And and it's always funny to me, because we had a guy from Australia on the show earlier today, and his he's from actually Melbourne, Australia. It's not Melbourne, Australia. It's from Melbourne. So he corrected me on that as well. So, Andy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so before we get too far into the world of soccer as far as preventing injuries, give us a little bit of your background on your playing days and your coaching over there in England.
Yeah, sure. I started playing at the age of 16, a young age. That was it's quite common in England to start your professional career at that age. And I did 3 years playing professional soccer. And unfortunately, I didn't quite make the grade, mainly due to injuries. So I decided to take an alternate route in my career and started to study the body and physical therapy, sports science, and strength and conditioning. And that led me to have quite a successful career at a number of different teams in England, namely Bolton Wanderers, Southampton Football Club, and Manchester City. I was fortunate that Bolton Wanderers, being the team at the time, with which was extremely innovative and very forward thinking from a sports science and medicine perspective, and I learned a lot of my trade there, and that's really where I developed my philosophy in terms of preventing injuries and optimizing performance and athletic potential to help with the success of the team. And we were very lucky that we had a coach that was super receptive in everything we had to offer, and we were able to influence him in his training methods, and which allowed us to really be effective with what the guys did on the field from a physical perspective. And we kept them healthy, and they maximized their potential, and we were very successful. And then from that that experience at Bolton, that led me to move to a number of other teams to try and implement a similar sort of philosophy, and I had great success there too. And from that, I ended up being headhunted by the Knicks and asked to do a similar sort of thing here.
And I think that's fantastic, because I think, you know, in the United States anyways, soccer is always seems to be the sport where all the moms put their kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's, you know, I could think in my local area, there's probably 10,000 soccer players or something like this. Just an astronomical number of kids that are playing. And a lot of the reasons they give is because they want their kids to be active, and it's a great game, and they can go around and kick a ball and have a great time. Pardon me?
Yeah, and it's not very costly either. You only need a ball and you can go and play, you know.
You know, just get some good shoes so you don't slip, you know, and away you go. You know, it's about amounts to that, and even that you can get around. But the thing that I think most people don't realize, though, is that soccer actually has is one of the sports that a lot of kids get injured in, and I don't think they realize that. And one of the things could you kind of speak to that area first about maybe what you see that's happening? What is the reason for that? Is there something that we can do to stop that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, soccer's just such a combination of different movements and explosive movements combined with the endurance. You cover a lot of ground when you're playing soccer. So, you know, and there's many different components to it. You need to, you know, have good endurance, good explosive capabilities. You need good control of your joints, especially in the rotational playing, because it's a very rotational orientated sport where you're twisting and turning and stopping and starting and cutting, and you know, your body needs to be able to cope with those type of movements. And because it's a lot of stress on the body when you're constantly rotating and decelerating, those stresses obviously accumulated a lot. And over a period of time, if your body can't cope with that, then that's when they run the risk of being injured. So that's why that you often see quite a lot of injuries in sport, and especially around the pelvis, in that area. It's just from the point where there's a lot of stress going through the body because of all those transitional forces from that rotational aspect. The other thing is that it's asymmetrical, doing a lot of kicking with the same leg all the time, repeated kicking. And training methods are often based around performing way more kicks than what they actually need to do in a game. Like, I often watch soccer practice, and I'd see the amount of kicks that they do and the amount of high velocity kicks, and when they actually do them, it's like at the end of the session, we're going to just finish with a shooting practice. Well, they're already fatigued, and then they're going to go and do, like, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 maximal kicks on a fatigued body, and an asymmetrical movement, so the dominant with the right leg, for instance. And then they wonder why the next day they've got a sore groin or a sore hip, or they're feeling tired, or they've pulled a hamstring 2 days later because they're doing local fatigue after a hard session. And that's one of the main reasons why you see a lot of injuries. It's the actual control of movement isn't quite developed very well, and also the training methods that people use to try and get the players better isn't well thought out. And that's why you often see those type of injuries too.
Another thing too, talk to us a little bit about the idea that kids are sitting all day in a
Yeah.
chair and then they come out and go to
Yeah.
practice. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, and I mean that's huge. And I think that's one of the things that I speak about in my course. It's like movement evolution and how postures. And everyone needs to move in and out of postures, and it's being able to get into a position and out of position is isn't as important as being able to slow yourself down into a position. And how do you get to that position, not can you get into it? So it's important to get in and out of postures, but just sustained postures and so-called poor postures, what they do is they basically change the capabilities of the muscles that are designed to stabilize you. So if you're sitting in a slouch position, if you're standing on one leg with your weight over to one side, or if you're standing with your hips swayed forward, or if you're lying on your front and you're resting on your elbows, if you're sitting at a desk, slouched over a computer, all those type of postures, if you're in that position for a sustained amount of time, it starts to stretch the muscles or elongate the muscles that cross one joint. So not the multi-joint muscles, but the muscles that cross over only one joint. So the smaller muscles that are actually more equipped to stabilize start to become less efficient because they start to become elongated. So because they get that elongation and lengthening, they become less effective at controlling movement, slowing movements down, providing good alignment control. The awareness starts to become reduced, and the sensitivity becomes reduced under low load circumstances. And what you find is the bigger muscles start to change too. So because the bigger muscles, say your hamstrings or your hip flexors, those muscles, they actually cross over two joints. So they can compensate by shortening over one but lengthening over another. And if your stabilizing muscles aren't as effective, then those longer moving muscles, they become more dominant, and they start to become shorter and too dominant, and then you get muscle imbalances and increased movement in one direction more than another, and more shearing going through joints, more compression, more overpull and strain on ligaments, tendons, your cartilage, etc., gets more of more pressure towards it. So it's definitely influential. Postures at school, you often see kids carrying bags on one shoulder. You see them like slouch over a desk for hours. You see them sitting on hard floors. It's super important to be aware of what your posture is. And it's not too bad to be in a posture for a short period of time, but it's just the sustained postures, long periods of time, you can actually start to make physiological changes in those muscles that are very important to provide stability and protection around the joints. And that's really, I think, what starts to leading to a lot of issues further down the line when people are developing and when athletes get older, they start to develop a lot of different issues related to how they held themselves posturally when they were growing up. And you know, a lot of education that I give now is related to stuff that was how they moved in the past. And if we can optimize, you know, posture and movement and awareness at a younger age, then you definitely have a better chance at having a long lot more of a longevity in your career when you get older.
See, that's way cool from a standpoint, because you can even see, I'll make just one observation, is that even in older adults, you know, you see a lot of them starting to essentially almost start to bend, you know, where their head is moved forward, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
And they're
okay.
and they're and they're they look like their back hurts, you know what I mean? And how they would be able to accomplish that
Yeah.
is an amazing thing.
Yeah. I mean, you start to develop tightness in certain areas because over time, you know, if you don't move through a joint, you'll just stiffen up. And it's the same if you maintain a certain posture, that becomes your, you know, your form and your muscles and your tendons and everything, just and your joints, so you start to stiffen up within that form. And basically, your body will then take the path of least resistance in other movements. So you have to have an area of hypermobility. So even though you have an area of stiffness, that's not often the area that you'll get an issue. It's more like a single segment within the kinetic chain, a single joint that moves too much, and then that joint that's moving too much, that'll often be the point where, you know, you get pain or injury as you get older. And it's often like, that's why people often feel good when you free up those stiff joints, because they don't have to move as much in the joints that are loose.
All right, so now we're kind of laid the groundwork, because I think that's a fantastic, you know, a lot of parents and adults, do they really need to have that level of understanding? No. But to take a step back to say, okay, I want my kids to play soccer and I want them to have the best experience possible. Let's start, first of all, with the basics of what you see for soccer players that they should do to maintain their body so they can perform at their best without injury.
Well, the primary thing, obviously, you know, you've got to make sure that you've got the right habits in place. Make sure that you're eating the right foods, getting enough sleep, making sure that you're drinking enough fluids, and you know, even with what you're eating, it's the timing of when you're eating pre and post training and games. Make sure that you're refueling for repair and fueling yourself enough for energy. You know, they're the basics that are going to allow you to, you know, regenerate and recover from a, you know, just something that's a very, very easy to do point of view, but often overlooked. So getting your sleep habits, eating and drinking enough fluid, that's super important. The next thing is like, make sure that the program is designed to not excessively overload. So when they're training, kids want to play soccer. They want to be active, and it's great that they want to do so much activity. But you've got to be careful that they're not overtraining. They need to have enough recovery, enough rest days is what they have work days. You know, they can't practice every single day and play two times in the same day and think that they're going to be, you know, injury free. That it's usually the program that is going to dictate, you know, the level of freshness and the level of injury risk. So if they're overtraining, if they're practicing too much, you know, that's a huge huge factor in you know, them being at risk of injury and not being equipped to deal with you know, a longevity of their career. And then, you know, what some just some key things that they should focus on in terms of the physical training. Football is or sorry, soccer is such a rotational sport. I don't think I'm ever going to get that right. Football, soccer is such a rotational sport. You know, you've got to train the muscles that really control rotation, can train the parts of the body that are exposed to you know, those forces in that plane of movement. So, you know, core stability is obviously a buzzword, but you know, exercises that are core exercises that can help with, you know, the body awareness around the trunk to help give robustness and control of the muscles that provide control of those forces that you see frequently in soccer. Because soccer is obviously you do a lot of cut-in, twist-in, turn-in, rotation, slowing down, and a lot of kicking. So it's a lot of rotational movements. You really need to make sure that the muscles that provide those movements and control those movements are optimized to protect those young athletes. And often, like we spoke earlier on, postural, poor posture, etc., that can actually affect the muscles that are effective at controlling those rotational movements. So really being smart with like how you hold yourself in certain positions, maintaining good posture, and training the muscles that are, and training, you know, specifically for soccer, but training in a way that protects the joints from those rotational forces will really help with how they develop and get stronger.
See, that is, when you describe it in that way, you can just see it come into 3D. You know,
yeah.
It's like, that is exactly what takes place in a young person's life.
Yeah.
You know, they sit down, they go through the same habits on a daily basis. They eat the same
exactly.
things, and then they
yeah.
go and they beat themselves to a pulp every night because that's what a winner does, you know, and
yeah.
you know what I mean? And then they come back, and it was kind of funny because yeah. I was doing some, actually I was reading a book about the paleo diet with Lauren Cordain, and he had in there a research article that talked about overtraining. And he said,
yeah.
Or the study actually proved that 30 or 40%